Okay, I'd like us to turn back to John chapter 5. Let's just read some of these verses that we've been studying over this last few weeks now in John chapter 5. And the picture comes to us and the story comes because the Lord Jesus went back to Jerusalem as the law had demanded. He had gone to the temple, and beside on the outside of the walls of the temple was this pool of Bethesda, and the Lord Jesus Christ went to this one particular man out of that multitude of the lame and the withered and the infirmed, and he found the worst of the worst and the lowest of the low, and he healed him by a word. And his healing of him on the Sabbath brought the ire of the Jews upon him, and they sought to persecute him. And they sought to slay him, verse 16 of John chapter 5, because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. These people cared more about their religion. They cared more about their external worship than they did about this man. And they certainly cared more about all of that than they did about the glory of God. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Let's go back to verse 17, I'm sorry. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Not only had he broken the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickens, gives life to them, even so the Son gives life, quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son. And these are the verses I want us to look at this morning, Lord willing. The Father judges no man, but he's committed all judgment unto the Son. And the reason for that, verse 23, that all men should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father which has sent him. Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so is he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And then the Lord goes on to give his warnings and to give his witnesses. So our topic today is the honour of Christ, Christ's honour. You read that verse 23. The reason that all judgment is committed into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ is that all men should honour the Son even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son honoureth not the Father which has sent him. Malachi, the book of Malachi has so many remarkable parallels to this, and in John's Gospel, Malachi, if you turn there just briefly with me, Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament scriptures, and Malachi He's called by the Jews the last of them. So Malachi was written after the Jews had been sent into exile, they had returned, and Ezra had organised the construction of the temple. Nehemiah had organised the construction of the walls around the temple, and the prophets like Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi were there to encourage the people in their worship of God. And of course, what they found, as they had found throughout Jewish history, that their worship of God was polluted. Their worship of God was the worship that was more about the honouring of men, and especially the men in positions of leadership, and not about the honouring of God. But in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord uses two common figures, common examples in life, isn't it? He says, a son honours his father, and a servant honours his master. And then he asks the question, if then I be a father, where is my honour? Where's the honour? What a question. If I be a father, where is my honour? Where is his honour? Where is his honour displayed? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ honoured? He says, and if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is the reverential awe of me as God, as your judge? Where is mine honour? It's a good question, isn't it? It's a good question that the Lord asks these people who were the priests in Israel. It's a good question that the Lord asks us today. Where is my honour? Where am I honoured? I desperately want for us to be people that honour God. He promises in 1 Samuel, doesn't he? Those whom I honour, who honour me, I will honour. I want personally to honour God with my life. I personally and particularly want this to be a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is honoured. Honoured for who he is, honoured as his word has revealed him to his people. Listen to what he says at the end of verse 6. He says, if I be a master, where is my fear? Where is the reverential awe of God? Where is God revered for being God? Where is God revered for being the judge? Where is God revered for being creator of everyone and everything? Where is God revered for being absolutely sovereign? Where is God revered? Saith the Lord, he says, O priests, listen to what he says of them, that despise my name. The honour of God has got to do with his name, and his name is just not who he is. His name is his character. It's the very essence of his being. There used to be an old-fashioned term, isn't it, a person's name. And a person's name was dishonoured. They were very, very much grieved by it. But his name is his character. You are you priests that despise my name. And yet they don't have a clue. And he says, and they say, wherein have we despised thy name? Malachi's a remarkable book. I'd like us to read it again soon, and I'd like us to contemplate all of the parallels. I think out of the 55 verses in Malachi, 49 or 47 of them are directly the words of God. And the Lord speaks directly. He's speaking directly to these priests at a temple. And if you think that that was just something that was written 2,400 years ago and is not particularly relevant to exactly what is happening here and throughout this world today, then we have missed what the scriptures are saying. Listen to what God says. He says, to whom coming, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. He was rejected of men. He was that chief cornerstone, and he was rejected of men. But he's chosen of God, and he's precious. This is his worthiness, isn't it? This is his honour. And then he says, you also, you who claim the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you also, as lively stones, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. See, if God is honoured here, this is exactly what happens, isn't it? God has gathered us together. God has called his people, created a spiritual house, isn't it? Not a physical house, a spiritual house. He's created a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Listen to what God says of the spiritual sacrifices. This is where his honour is, isn't it? Acceptable to God. Acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. All the spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We looked last week at the pomegranate. Tash and I were doing some homework on the pomegranate. She took one home last week and I found another one today, yesterday in the shop. Because the pomegranate was the decoration, was part of the gown, the remarkable robe that the high priest took into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, and he took it in with the blood. Blood for himself, he took it in with blood for others, and he took into the Holy of Holies on his heart. He took the names of all of the children of Israel, and he took on his shoulders, the government's on his shoulders, but on top of his shoulders was the names of all the children of Israel. He takes all of his people into the Holy of Holies. And the pomegranate, and there was a pomegranate and a bill all the way around that robe, and as he walked in there and he performed that remarkable service, the bells and the pomegranates would ring. The pomegranates would ring the bell. What a great picture of gospel preaching, isn't it? We come together, we ring a bell, don't we? We ring, it's that joyful sound. Those that are of the Lord's hear a joyful sound. But one thing that was missing, Tash, from last week is, do you see the top of my pomegranate? I had to go searching down at the fruit market to find one. What's at the top? There's a crown, and you can come and have a look at it later on. But inside the crown are all the little stamens, and attached to every little stamen is a little cord through which the seed goes down, doesn't it? The pollen goes down into the seed inside. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in his church, isn't it? That there is a special connection between from the crown to the very seeds, and they're kept. What's Colossians say? Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. In John chapter 10, he says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. And that's what the pomegranate's a picture of, isn't it? It's blood on the outside and inside. Every seed has blood. And I won't embarrass Tash to ask her what she discovered this week, but that's just another beautiful picture of what the pomegranate is. It's a picture of the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people. It's a picture of the security of that union. It's a picture of the blood. Every seed inside is blood. Every seed inside is covered with blood. There's blood on the outside and there's blood on the inside. Just like on Noah's Ark, there was pitch on the outside and there was pitch on the inside. It's the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that word means in Genesis chapter 6. We are covered and protected by the glory of our God, and we are safe and secure in him, which is what John chapter 5 is talking about, isn't it? It's talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ is united to his people, and he comes in John 5 as he did in Malachi's time. He comes in a time of darkness. He comes in a time where there's so much confusion and spiritual idolatry all over the place that there is a need to go searching for the children of God, need to go searching for a place where God is honoured. And one of the great differences between Malachi and John's gospel is in Malachi, again and again and again, the prophet says, the Lord says, this saith the Lord, the Lord says. When it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, he utters those glorious words, I say unto you. He never has to say the Lord said. He says, I say unto you. We are here because our God has spoken. We are here because We seek his word, his honour and his glory, and we want to hear from him. We're going to sing again, thanks Ben. Diversion. What are we going to, which one are we singing?
31.
Tell out my soul the greatness of the Lord. I'd like you to turn back with me to the book of Malachi. It's the last book of the Old Testament, so it's a pretty easy one to find amongst all those little books. And the reason I wanted us to look at Malachi over this next several weeks is that the parallels are just remarkable. The Lord Jesus Christ, as God, speaks through Malachi, and as the Word made flesh, he speaks to the priests in Jerusalem, and he speaks in the same way. He speaks to the same people that have replicated the same issues throughout their lives. They still, these people, despite all of the evidence laid before them, they still have no idea that God Almighty is in their midst. Even when he says he is, even when they're looking for the Christ, even when he stands before them, as we saw in those verses in John chapter 5, and he says, I'm God, I'm equal with God, I own life, I'm the one that by word can raise the dead in this life to a life of God. I'm the one who is so omniscient, omnipotent in power, that there'll come a day when I'll speak and every grave on this earth will be emptied. The earth will give up its dead at the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he showed them, didn't he, by the three raisings of the dead that he did in the gospel accounts. And just by a word, a dead man who's been dead for 4 days comes out of the tomb. It's just a picture, isn't it? When the Lord Jesus Christ died, the graves were opened and men of old walked the streets of Jerusalem. And still, after the resurrection and all of the evidence, there was still a complete and utter deadness amongst the religious people. And as we look at them and as we look at some verses here in Malachi, I pray that we would be praying that the Lord would cause us to hear his voice. Before we read Malachi, I'd like us to consider God's judgment. That's one of the questions in Malachi. Where's the God of judgment? Where is the God of judgment? Where is my honour, he says at the beginning. Where is the God of judgment? And the remarkable thing is that we think that God is judging people when we see horrible things happening. We think that he's judging people when there is complete and utter depravity in so many places in society. There is an awful judgment of God going on. When his word is proclaimed, his son is honoured, and people are not given ears to hear. Turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 27. This is Paul's, this is the Holy Spirit's assessment of what happened in Jerusalem. It happened from the days of Solomon, from the building of the temple. It happened all the way through to the days of Malachi. It happened until the days when the Lord Jesus Christ sent the army of Titus and they absolutely destroyed Jerusalem. But listen to what he says of them in verse 27. He says, just go back to verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, he's speaking to those who claim to be Jews. And whosoever among you that feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. This is the word that's sent by God. This is God's word that we're speaking. This is not the word of men. This is God's voice and God's word that's said. And then he describes what happened in Jerusalem, and this is throughout the history of Jerusalem. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, listen to the allegation made against them. They knew him not. They didn't know who God was. They didn't know who they were. They didn't know what God's word said. They knew him not. They knew him not. And yet he was in their midst and he stood before them and he declared himself to be God. And the Father declared himself to be God, declared him to be God. John the Baptist declared him. He did these works, he did these miracles, he fulfilled every prophecy in the Old Testament. He was a walking, living, breathing, talking fulfillment of every Old Testament prophecy. All the promises are yea and amen in him. All the pictures are in him. They knew him not. They knew him not. It wasn't any lack of evidence. And then listen to what it says. They didn't know him, nor yet the voices of the prophets. That doesn't mean that they didn't read them. You listen to what he goes on to say. Which are read every Sabbath day. Every day they met and they opened the scriptures and they read the scriptures and they didn't hear a voice. And yet, listen to what he goes on to say. God is still absolutely sovereign and sitting on his throne. Doesn't matter what man does. They have fulfilled them in condemning him. They put him to judgment. I want for us, as we come to the scriptures and as you personally come to the scriptures, to pray that the Lord would cause you to hear the voice. To hear the voice. To hear the voice of the shepherd. That word voice is a remarkable word. So they knew the words and they had them and they knew them off by heart. And they were looking for the Messiah. But the voices, that word voices, means to bring forth into light. It's not just the words on a page, is it? It's to bring them forth into light. It's for them to become evident or resplendent. It means to shine. That these words from God shine a light on the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his light, we see light and we see him. It's to shine, it's to be bright. It's to come into view. It's for these bits of ink on bits of paper to become a living word. That's what the Lord Jesus said in John 6, isn't it? My words are spirit and they are life. It's to make manifest, it's to appear, it's to shine. And there will be no honour of God unless his word shines a light on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that verse that we read, and he shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. It's a creative act. The first words of God in the Bible are, let there be light. And he's not talking about the sun and the moon and the stars. They weren't created for another 4 days. He's talking about this light of the gospel, this light of his word, this light that shines a light on who he is. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So when we come to the scriptures, when we come and read, I pray that we would be praying that that judgment that fell upon these priests in Israel, to hear the word of God, to see him lifted up high, and to not see him, is a terrible, terrible judgment. And may God protect us from that. Let's read, let's turn in our Bibles to Malachi, and we'll read a couple of chapters, and then we'll come and back to John's Gospel and look about the honour. But I want us to listen carefully to the Lord questioning these people. And all through the book of Malachi, you can mark them as you have time, if you like, but you'll see that he asks a question and he tells them what they're thinking in their hearts and he gives an answer. That's exactly what he does all the time. He's not asking to get knowledge at all. He knows everything and he knows everyone. Okay, let's read these last words of the Old Testament prophets. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished. This is what Esau is saying. We are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. You can see why the Jews in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ saw that any association with those that they called the Gentiles, all of the rest of the people of this world, any association with them was something that they had to avoid in all sorts of remarkable ways. Verse 5, and your eyes shall see, and you shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Verse 6, a son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts? Unto you, O priests, that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? You have offered polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech, that means to seek the face of, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there among you that would shut the door for naught? You wouldn't even go and close the temple doors without being paid for it. Neither do you kindle a fire on my altar for naught. Your service is for pay. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Because, or for, from the rising of the sun even to the going down of that same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But you have profaned it, in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. You said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And you have snuffed at it, you've snorted at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And you brought that which was torn and lame and sick, thus you brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which has in his flock a male and voweth and sacrifices unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant with Levi, my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him, of life and peace. This is the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the eternal covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they that seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But you have departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in my law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. The Lord will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receive it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been a witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hates putting away. He hates divorce. Thankfully, he hates divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that you deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. You say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Or where is the God of judgment? The God of judgment is here in John chapter 5, revealing himself in that temple before the descendants of these same priests. And listen to what they ask, where's the God of judgment? And the next words are remarkable, aren't they? Behold, I will send my messenger. I will send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. This is John the Baptist. And the Lord, whom you seek. See, they were seeking the Lord and doing all this depravity, sickly stuff, shall suddenly come to his temple. That's what he did in John chapter 2. That's what he's done again in John chapter 5. He's suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like full of soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah in Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against sorcerers and against the adulterers, against the false swearers, against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear me not, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. I love this verse. I am the Lord. I change not. The Lord who spoke these words in Malachi's day is exactly the same Lord who's having them read before us today. I change not, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall be not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What profit is there that we've kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, and they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then, this is a glorious conclusion to this remarkable book that finishes the Old Testament. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of my servant, of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. He shall turn the heart of the fathers with the children. They'll have one voice. They'll be joined as one in the worship of God. May the Lord add his blessing to our hearts, to his word. Let's have a break and come back and look at John chapter 5.